And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
So unhappy all the time. Look, I've given you everything I know how. You're standing on top of my
Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us a part of your Wednesday. It's been a pretty wild week, Ben.
Has.
We predicted it was going to be a wild week, and it has, as we were meeting before the show and talking about what we're going to do and laying stuff out and what we want to get to. It's like, man, we got a lot. So much so that it will carry over, I'm sure, for weeks to come. Because a lot has happened this weekend. It has yet to happen this week.
It was nice to have Danny Ainge for 40 minutes yesterday in the middle of our show. And that was huge, and we don't get to hear from Danny Ainge a lot. At least, I should say, the public doesn't get to hear from Danny Ainge a ton. But, you know, it was also just a huge news day overall, and today is a huge news day, and tomorrow's a huge news day, and we just got a lot going on. It's exciting.
I think I think a lot of times people who are interviewed a lot want to turn questions around to the people asking them.
Yeah.
And he did that, like, five times yesterday.
He certainly did it early. But that, you know what? Here's one of the funny things I like about Danny. He will do that.
Yeah.
And he does that everywhere.
Oh, I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. But I mean, how many people who are interviewed all the time so want to do that?
Sure.
Or they just turn around and be like, what do you think, Booner?
No, I remember we were watching a press conference. I can't remember what it was. One of the players, we were waiting for somebody. And Danny just happened to be sitting in, just kind of waiting around. And he just kind of like leaned over and was like, hey, where'd you go to school? Like, what's your background? Like, Danny actually is kind of just a curious person. Versus the guy who's like, yeah, Booner, what do you think of Zach Edey? But I also think Danny is right in that he is pretty willing to take a lot of, or listen to a lot of advice. I don't know whose advice he takes, but I'm sure he listens to a lot.
Oh, when he did that yesterday, he wasn't rude.
No, not at all.
No, that's not what I'm implying. I'm just like, if you did something over and over and over again, Ben, wouldn't you think of ways to make it more entertaining
it more
to like yourself? And I feel like that's what he's doing. I actually like that he engages with people asking questions. I think it encourages clarity and actually can really help answer the question. I'm not rude at all. I just think, how many thousands of interviews has he done in his life where, like, standing there on the sidelines with Jim Gray, like, what do you think about that, Jim?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you tell me. I've answered.
Yeah, right.
And one of the interesting things about Danny, and again, look here. We talked about this last week quite a bit, which is like, Danny is not actually the mystery that he gets painted to be. Now, that is his fault because he doesn't talk throughout the year. He talks before the year and he talks to the end of the year. And when you have this void, people throw into it and think there's conspiracies or he's the Grim Reaper or whatever, and he's not. But that's kind of how people treat him, especially Jazz fans. You see it online. They're like, he's this mystery. He's just operating in clandestine fashion. And he's not. You can talk to him before games. He will share information. He will tell you things that other GMs or executives or CEOs or whatever wouldn't tell you. But I think a lot of Jazz fans, at least I saw it yesterday, were like, oh man, what a breath of fresh air. Really happy to hear how candid he was. Really happy to hear Danny tell the truth. It's like, yes, I guess that is both what I've been trying to say. But also, to their point, it's fair that if that would make them feel better, and if the Jazz end up with a PR image problem, because Danny doesn't talk enough, maybe he needs to talk more. Just pop up a couple of times, middle of the year. This is where we are. This is how things are looking. This is what we did at the trade deadline. This is what we liked. This is what we didn't like, et cetera.
I'm actually fine with even Justin talking more. Mm-hmm. And Justin does, Zanuck does talk more than Danny does. But I'd love it if Jay-Z did a weekly hit on the zone, you know?
Like, of course. Oh, yes. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying please do it.
No, but I think that would solve the problem you're talking about. You know what I mean? I mean, if Danny Ainge wants to be the CEO and delegate, I actually think that's something you could easily delegate to Justin Zanuck. Be like, get our message out there.
Yep.
Jump on with old Jake and Ben and have a few laughs. I think I truly believe that Joe Ingles coming on this station got him, made him millions more than he would have and kept him in this market longer than he would have other places.
It made him more beloved. I don't know. He was a good player.
He was here for 7 years. Yeah. NBA players aren't anywhere for 7 years anymore. Multiple contract extensions, including the first one, which is probably the one we can most take credit for, because he came on the station when he was the 12th man on the darn team. And I'll take credit for something that DJ and PK made happen.
Sure, and they would take credit for him making millions of dollars.
They should.
Not his own talent.
They should. They helped. You know it's about more than that. Of course it is.
Maybe.
Joining the show now, we're switching gears to the big story, the other big story of the day yesterday. And, of course, he covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com. He was all over this story yesterday. BYU hiring a new head basketball coach, Kevin Young, coming from the Phoenix Suns staff. Mitch is with us now. What's going on, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Good. Happy to be on with you.
Mitch, I was flabbergasted by this hire. I mean, this is beyond hitting it out of the park. This was the best case scenario. In fact, if I had heard Kevin Young was interested in the job, I might have replaced Mark Pope after putting together a tournament run last year at BYU. At what point did Kevin Young become the primary name for BYU, and how did this happen? How did they land the next great coach in basketball, was what he was expected to be at any level?
It is a pretty remarkable hire on that front, and I think that, you know, once Kevin Young was no longer, exploring NBA opportunities, and he expressed his desire to be at BYU, and then it was on. You know, BYU did want him from the beginning. The issue, again, was just like what you noted. I mean, he was going to be the next, big thing in basketball, and I just think that helped BYU's, they already had a previous relationship with him from the coaching search in 2019, and they made him a priority. And, it's been reported about, Ryan Smith and Danny Ainge, Ryan Smith's involvement. Brian Smith, he is a BYU basketball guy. I mean, I noted on my Cougar Tracks podcast yesterday how, he'd show up to games against, Southeast Louisiana, along with the Baylor games, but he'd be at obscure games. Like, he's in on BYU basketball. And to get someone like Kevin Young, who, it'll be fascinating to see, how he constructs and builds a roster in the college basketball game. But it just feels like that is a brilliant basketball mind to go and try to, put together schemes against Bill Self and Scott Drew. And I like the chance of BYU competing still in the Big 12. It's still going to be, I think you got to readjust your expectations for next year, but Kevin Young, at this juncture of this, getting this guy compared to what the pool of candidates was, what a home run for Tom Holmoe and that administration.
Do we know how and why the contract was made public?
That is fascinating. I'll give Matt Norlander from CBS Sports credit. I mean, that is kind of like a holy grail of scoops in the BYU world.
That's getting the white whale. I know. I couldn't believe it.
I was floored myself because that's the stuff that lives in BYU lore. That's a great question. I wish I had more insight on that because, it could be his agent. It could be, they just don't understand the BYU nuances. Like, yeah, we're going to give this info to the reporter. I wish I had more insight there because, yeah, that was jaw-dropping. And I think that also helps the cause that because BYU's background of notoriously in the past doing more with less and being cheap, let's call it what it is, putting that number out there really resets, I think, fans' belief. And I think that's what the Kevin Young hire is that, he who knows how he will truly, what level of success he will have at BYU, because you still have to have a program where you're going to tell guys you can't do things a lot of college students can. And that's going to give you an instant filter on the recruiting trail. But, if those that salary is accurate, I think if you're a BYU fan, you look at it and go, wow, they're actually wanting to compete. They actually want to go try and chase a Big 12 title instead of, thinking like, hey, we're going to do the BYU way, continue to do what we do. And it's going to still put us in a spot to contend with Kansas and contend with Baylor. And it's like, We all know that's not going to be the case. So it sends a message that, hey, BYU fans, donate to these collectives, donate to this, because that money will be well spent and we will be chasing, championships. And that's what you got to kind of do from a narrative standpoint. And I think if that salary is accurate, I mean, I'm still trying to work to get confirmation on that. But if that's the case, I mean, I think it's a real narrative shifter for BYU.
So, Mitch, I don't know if you know this, Kevin Young has another job. He works in the NBA, and they're about to start a playoff series this weekend. Mm-hmm. What does he do? He's not leaving the Suns. How does he put a staff together? How do they start recruiting? How do they hit the transfer portal while he's still doing his other job?
A lot of, recruiting in basketball these days, in college basketball, it's no longer about, whining and dining the player and the parents and saying, hey, here's the academic hall where you're going to spend for 4 years. No, it's about, this is the depth chart. This is how you're going to fit. Yes, there is this honor code that you have to adhere to at BYU. It's real. But it's more about kind of talking in ways like you would an NBA pitch in a way, to an agent, free agent, like where you're just be talking about fit and maybe conducting a lot of interviews on Zoom. It can be done. And I think it can be juggled. But, I mean, it's going to be critical for him to get his assistant coaches in place to really help identify where BYU goes, the direction of building this roster. They have 6 scholarships available, but I mean, if the Suns do make a run and get out of the first round with the T-Wolves, I think he can still juggle this, and I think he'll be okay. I mean, he's going to arrive in town from Phoenix today, sometime this afternoon, and then he'll be back in Phoenix by tomorrow morning. So, it'll be probably hectic for him and his family, but it can be done with. Because again, recruiting now it's in a dead period with signing day today. Transfer portal recruiting is primarily on Zoom. I think it can be managed.
Mitch, do you have any idea what direction he's going to head with his staff?
That's going to be the interesting piece to find out. Like, does he get the full autonomy to, because he's going to, what direction does he want to go? Does he want to go with guys that have NBA backgrounds? Does he want to go with names that we're familiar with here in the Utah college basketball scene? That'll be, something to kind of learn and pick his brain on that, because I feel like, he's got to have some guys that know college basketball recruiting extensively and just kind of the nuts and bolts of how BYU recruits, and having, strong relationships with AAU and in-state, high school recruits here and the coaches here in the state. I think that can help the cause. So I got to imagine, with that as staff, but he's going to be, the thing is, he's going to have the resources and the support to get what he needs done. And I think that's something that gives you hope, where BYU can, put together some really good coaches to assemble with. Like, it's always been the case in the past with BYU is, well, they got a good head coach, but they got a pretty light budget for the support staff, so they got to go hire a guy that maybe wasn't even working in the profession last year, and then they go hire. It's just that BYU's just done things so different, and this just feels like a kind of how basketball and college sports operate at a high level. So, but yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see what direction he does go. It's still time. He's got to act fast, though, and get that thing put together.
I'm not trying to pit these two against each other, but I think we tend to do this, which is, one of my thoughts was, is BYU a basketball school now? Like, how does this impact the rest of sports, certainly football, the investment that they're making in Kevin Young versus what they can do on the football side?
It's a fair point, because, BYU football has always been the marquee, sport at BYU, and it still is from an interest and ticket sales and whatnot and revenue. But it's a fascinating dynamic when you have two men that are, supporters from afar, but very close to it, with Ryan Smith and Danny Ainge, who love basketball. Clearly, I mean, you guys know as well as anyone, like, their passion for it, and they like to see BYU, win at a high level. And if this salary is accurate, Kalani Sitake, if he turns around with BYU football, and he's not in a place right now to be, not necessarily complaining about what his salary is and whatnot, but if he turns it around and has a successful year and gets BYU back on track, if you're Kalani, you're like, I need $5 million. I need something pretty big. And because we've seen in the past, I remember, you know, what was it, Utah, when those years when Larry Krzyzewski got that big extension and Witt was like, we're building this thing up in football, and they're kind of going through their transition to the Pac-12, it can cause a little bit of a rift. And you saw Kalani go to Oregon State, and then he ends up at BYU. He lost some of his coaches, and we saw it with Kentucky too, with Calipari and Mark Stoops in football, where there's, why is this program getting so much and this program's not? I got to imagine that's got to be interesting. And BYU better be ready to pay up for the, whether it's Kalani or the next football coach, whoever it ends up being, to invest at an even higher level than you're doing at basketball. But so I got to imagine that's a unique dynamic. If there's someone that won't let it phase them, it would be someone like Kalani. But definitely, if they turn around, you better be ready to pay up.
Mitch, great work yesterday, and I know the work, of course, continues, but great job being all over that story, and we appreciate you jumping on with us. Usually you're Friday, so we appreciate you bumping us up your schedule.
You bet, guys. Always happy to do it.
All right, buddy.
All right, see ya.
That's our friend Mitch Harper, covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com.
Again, just a fascinating hire, a huge hire for BYU. Kevin Young was... You know, he interviewed for the Nets job. Sounds like they went with Jordy Fernandez. There was some report that he turned down the Nets job, which I find a little hard to believe, to be honest with you. But I don't know. Maybe he did. And takes the BYU job. It's, as I mentioned, he was kind of the next guy. I mean, he was the next guy in the NBA. He interviewed for the Jazz last year. He interviewed for several jobs. Like, he was in line to become an NBA head coach. And he chose BYU. It's... I've never seen anything like it.
Maybe he didn't feel like the Nets were calling.
Okay.
Maybe he didn't feel like it was a calling to him.
Sure. I do think that matters, and we've talked about that a lot with BYU, right? They get guys they shouldn't get.
I'm making a joke, but that is part of my point is there's an additional draw to BYU that they certainly should play to their advantage. Now, I do not think that, like, I don't know, pick your favorite apostle was jumping on the horn and being like, you know, going Roger Reed on the guy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But there probably is a draw. He's from Salt Lake. I mean, he grew up here. We know about coaches that become attached to not only I'll just say our community. I mean, Kyle Whittingham could have gone elsewhere. Lavelle coached here forever. Yep. Jerry Sloan coached here forever. And here's where I'll toot our community's horn a little bit. It's a great place. It's a great place to live. It's a great place. It's a great sporting environment that's well supported. Like, you know, I make a joke about the calling thing, but like the community is calling to him. You know what I mean? A lot of people who grow up here love it here and want to be here and grow up in the BYU-Utah rivalry in some weird way. And I don't know if Kevin Young grew up a BYU fan. I actually have no idea. But if BYU can play to that attachment in different ways, that's right. They get athletes. They get coaches that they shouldn't, that they don't necessarily have any business getting. And good for them.
And, you know, the Nets are a disaster. They have a disaster owner in Joe Tsai, and maybe they were only offering 2 years. Like, Will Hardy got a 5-year deal with the Jazz. That was a really safe bet, even if it was only – I have no idea what Will Hardy
7 years in coaching is an eternity. I mean, you can get a 7-year deal, talk about the white whale.
Yeah.
Getting a 7-year deal.
If he's terrible, they still have to pay him. Who
yeah,
cares?
Right.
If he stinks in 2 years and they can't win a game and he's a disaster, they got
to
pay him.
And if he doesn't like it and can go back to the NBA. If Jim Boylan can rehab an NBA career in coaching – truly anybody can.
But
so
if he were to take the Nets job and it was 2 years and they said, yeah, well, it's 2 years and it's $10 million. And he says, well, I've got a $30 million contract anyways. And the average coach only lasts 3 years regardless. Well, it's about the sum. It's not about the years. It's about the overall number. And great, if I'm at BYU. And here's the thing. What happens if he wins the first 2 years at BYU? Well, they give him an extension and they give him more money.
Yeah.
Like, this is a starting price, and it's a very good starting price.
And I've never really bought into the logic. Speaking of NBA coaches, you know, there's only 30 of them, so you've got to take it while you can get it. Well, if I'm an up-and-coming head coach, I don't think that's necessarily true. Because if I take that bite at the apple and really suck, there you could do damage to your reputation for the rest of your career.
Yeah.
But if you take look no further than Steve Kerr and Jeffrey Hornacek. They were both, Steve Kerr was offered the Knicks job and then was offered the Golden State job like a day later. I don't think he had said yes to the Knicks job, but the reports were out there like, oh, the Knicks are closing in on Steve Kerr or whatever. And Kerr then jumps ship, takes the Golden State job.
Yeah.
And now he's a dang legend.
Yep,
Jeff Hornacek gets stuck with Phil Jackson and the crappy Knicks. And Jeff now has to be on a bunch of staffs if he wants to be a head coach again because he did such damage to his reputation.
Kenny Atkinson notoriously has turned down several jobs.
Like
he's been a head coach before, but he could get any head coaching job he wants, and he keeps turning jobs down because he's remaining with the Warriors, and he's going to find the right spot to land a good job.
Is Steve Kerr a better coach than Jeff Hornacek?
Right.
I actually have no idea.
Do I think Jeff Hornacek would have done just fine with
the Warriors?
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Probably.
And he probably would have won some games. Mark Jackson did.
Hey, you, Curry, go make that three.
Yeah.
You, Thompson, make the catch and shoot. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe this he sees as an opportunity, a better opportunity for success than Brooklyn. But I have no idea. If he...
I told him to do that.
Told Steph to make that three.
Yeah. So.
Hey, you, Draymond, punch that guy.
Well, I will say this, though. Kevin Young's job is extremely difficult.
Oh, yeah. It's a hard gig for sure.
Here's what I'm not going to fall in the trap of doing. I promise you I'm not going to do this the rest of the year. Well, Danny Sprinkle did it. I don't care that Danny Sprinkle put a blindfold on and swung at a pitch and hit a home run.
He's the unicorn.
No,
he's
that doesn't unicorn. Mean he didn't do a good job.
I don't think.
But I'm never going to set that as a standard. That's bananas what he just did at Utah State.
Fair as a standard. I got it. But the whole building a program thing, I don't think exists anymore.
No, it's
the
not what it used to be.
The whole 3-4 years where, oh, you see where he's building to. That's not a thing.
I agree with you. I'm going to give Kevin Young more than a year to get BYU back on track because they lost everything.
But what you're giving him is a year of, what's the word I'm looking for? You're giving him an excuse for a year. It's not building anything. It's, well, yeah, you inherited nothing, so you get to suck for a year. But it doesn't mean that, like, there's this slow boil thing or that somehow, like, that's progress.
No, you're right, because he basically hits the reset button every offseason. Because if they sneak next year, what happens? All the bozos he recruits are gone, and
right.
He brings in a whole new
team.
Yeah,
it's not a thing. Like, this is where I actually think Craig Smith might be in some trouble at Utah because he's been riding the building it train for several years now, and then he's losing his entire team, basically, and the expectations are still going to be, well, you're building this somewhere, right? Because that couldn't have been the peak. That NIT run could not have been the height of the build.
No, it cannot.
Like,
and they still lost a bunch of guys.
So he's going to run into it. Yeah, they lost everybody. Not everybody, but they just lost a transfer 10 minutes ago.
Yep, they lost Brandon Carlson, their best player. I mean, he's going to the next level, but yeah.
Right. So the whole building it thing is not a thing. And you make a great point about how if you do stink, it's not like those guys, you're going to cut all those guys.
Yeah.
All right. Stay tuned. Top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com coming up next. We're going to talk to Jay Stevens. We're going to talk a little hockey coming up at 11, right, Sarah? It says 11:30 on my sheet. I'm going to fix that. Because we've got What You Got Wednesday at 11:30.
I'm excited.
And it's going to be an interesting, I think, What You Got Wednesday.
Yeah.
Maybe controversial. I don't know.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm just a normal boy that sank when I fell overboard. My ship would leave the country, but I'd rather swim ashore. Without a life vest, I'd be stuck again. Wish I was much more masculine. Maybe then I could learn to swim like 14 miles away. Now floating up and down, I spin colliding into sound. Like whales beneath me diving down, I'm sinking to the bottom.
Ah, it's Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. want to remind you, nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest to listen and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. All right, time for the top three stories of the day. KSLSports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, we're starting with one of the big takeaways from Danny Ainge's presser, talking about KD and the Celtics.
In my experience in Boston, when we were there, and we had Paul Pierce, and Paul was a terrific player, an all-star player, Hall of Fame player, and we lost 19 games in a row in 2007, and our plan was Kevin Durant. But when the lottery came around, we got knocked back three spots to number five, and our plan changed immediately, and we were able to eventually land Ray Allen and KG, which were never available before that moment in time, but we were there and we were ready. So it took a lot of good fortune. Obviously, it took some bad fortune to go win a championship, because if we'd have drafted KD, which was a top plan, we probably wouldn't have won a championship unless for quite a while as a young player. But the bottom line is, obviously, either of those are very good options. But we didn't have all of those options in front of us.
The moral of the story is, you can build a plan, the best laid plans of mice and men, right? Like, you can have a plan, you can have a hope, you can have an idea. The best thing you can do is be versatile and adaptable.
I kept getting asked yesterday, like, what'd you think about the press conference? That was my FAQ yesterday. And I'll tell you, and this will go to show what a giant ego you're working with here, but I felt vindicated about everything that we talk about on this show. That's how I felt.
I
felt like
we,
Ben and I talk about all this stuff all the time. And I felt like, oh, it's so good to hear him talk about all of this stuff, because it's what Ben and I talk about. So sorry to honk our show's horn. But listen, we've been telling you that the plan is to be ready to go when something becomes available for pert near 2 years now. And I thought about his example right there, and that's a great one, obviously. But let's break down pretty much every major move in Danny Ainge's GM career, or at least a few of them. Let's think about it. Breaking up the Celtics to get all those draft picks that led to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Do you think the plan was for a bloodthirsty Russian oligarch to buy into the NBA and be so desperate to win a championship that he would hire the biggest buffoon alive as the general manager and make a rash of silly, foolish trades that he could take advantage of? Was that the plan?
Yeah, had Danny laid that out?
Had Danny think like, oh, I know what this guy's going to do. I know what the leak's going to do. They're going to go Russian.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Right.
All right, let's now think about the Kyrie Irving deal, where he's sitting on a treasure trove just confiscated from the Brooklyn Nets. Did he know that coming off a championship that LeBron James and Kyrie Irving do not like each other,
right,
and that Kyrie would be willing to pass on further, certainly finals appearances, but further titles just to get as far away from number 23 as he possibly could? Was Danny's let's get to the plan. The plan is, I've heard that Kyrie doesn't like LeBron. Let's wait for that to boil over in a couple of years, and then we're going to pounce. I don't think so.
And you're right. It goes back to the KD thing. You know, he was planning on drafting KD. It didn't happen. What did he do? He maneuvered.
He maneuvered.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got to be able to. Like, let's think about the greatest trade in NBA history, the Markelle Fultz-Jason Tatum trade, where he traded down two spots,
yep,
still got his guy. Do you think he was thinking 2 years in advance, like, I know how dumb Philly is, and they're going to have the third pick in 2 years.
Right.
And we're going to be able to pants them in front of the entire league and still get our guy? No,
yeah,
of course not. But you have to know, if there's one criticism that I would levy on Danny Ainge over his general manager career, is that at times he's been too conservative. When he was sitting on that treasure trove from the Nets,
yes,
there was a rumor out there, and hey, what do I know? But that Chicago was moving on from Jimmy Butler because they were moving on from Tom Thibodeau, and it actually came to fruition like a year later.
Yeah.
But that was the move, not Kyrie Irving. I always thought it was the Jimmy Butler move, and depending on who you believe. He passed on that because that wasn't the right one.
He's rumored to have passed on a Paul George trade. Like, he's passed on some trades, apparently, where he was too conservative.
And that is the trick, is you've got to pick the right move at the right time. And it's what you and I have been talking about forever now. It's like, you better make a move at the offseason. What do you mean make a move at the offseason? Yeah. Like, trade for somebody who's not available? You, Zanuck, go get me Luka Doncic. It doesn't work that way. And then you look at Ishbia, who buys the Suns and says, hey, you, what's their GM's name? He's good.
James Jones.
Yeah, yeah. You, Jones, go get me Kevin Durant. Well, there's all sorts of crazy stuff that had to happen in Brooklyn in order for that to even be possible.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving had to fall off the sanity charts, and James Harden had to want out of Brooklyn the year before. There's like 10 crazy things that have to happen for that even to be available.
Kevin Durant, excuse me, had to be born with a size 15 shoe instead of a 14 because he steps on the 3-point line on a game that should have won it over Milwaukee, which would have sent them to the finals, and they win the finals over the Suns, and none of it ever happens. Right, like a literal game of inches, but yes, all these things have to happen to put yourself in a situation to strike. And that's what Danny Ainge and the Jazz
and
are doing.
And I love it that he said that. That was my favorite part of the press conference yesterday, because I love it that he's like, you guys want, Ryan's asking me for a plan. What do you mean plan?
Yeah, it's not how basketball works.
That's not how it works.
The GMs I always like, and look, this applies to coaches, this applies to really everybody who's good at their job, managers, etc. You have to be able to make big decisions quickly. You have to, but you have to play the cards that you're dealt. You cannot fall in love with the idea of how it's going to work, because that life doesn't work that way. So when something is dealt to you, you got to know how to play that hand. And you can't sit on it for 6 months and wait, or say, well, that wasn't the idea. The idea was Dante Exum is going to be the star of the team, so we're going to pigeonhole Dante Exum to being the star of the team. By the way, I'm not saying the Jazz did that, but that can be a trap you can fall into. That's why I liked what he said about Keontae George yesterday. He said, I don't know if he's our starting point guard of the future going forward. I mean, that doesn't mean he's not a starter. He just may not be the point guard. So you'll bring in another piece to make life easier. Like, fine. Fine. You don't need to pigeonhole him into being something if that's not what's best for him or the team. Good. Play the hand you're dealt. That's what good general managers do.
Can I say that I totally interpreted that differently than you? I totally took that as a threat to Keontae George.
Okay. Maybe it was. We can play that clip later.
Like, I'll move you off the ball. You're not good enough to have the ball the whole game yet. I'll move you off the ball. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And you know what? That's not beyond Danny Ainge.
Not a threat. That's too strong. But like, hey, you got some work to do.
Yeah.
Kind of like he did to Walker Kessler after last year. Like, he hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah.
I took it as that a little bit. All right, next.
Number two, the play-in tourney continues tonight.
Last night, good results, interesting results, potentially the death of the Golden State Warriors. I think they'll probably run it back again, as bizarre as that is.
But to get smoked like the Kings like that, that's terrible. And Klay Thompson ain't coming back. That's not happening.
I think he's going to re-sign, in all honesty, not at a max deal. But like, it's Klay. It's the Warriors. I would be stunned. It's the right move to not sign him, but that's not how the league works. And the Warriors like this romance of going out the way they started.
The problem is there's some franchise out there that'll give Klay Thompson a bunch of money. In your scenario, that works if nobody out there is willing to pay him, but somebody will be like
the 76ers,
like,
who have
we're
all
Klay
this money
away from, and they'll spend it. But anyway, they got embarrassed, which is, I honestly was shocked by that result.
So was I.
And then the Lakers should have lost that game on purpose and didn't.
But you know what? They might have. I mean, they can't beat the Kings, so maybe they're lucky that they did, because Anthony Davis has never beat Sabonis since he's been in a Lakers uniform. So maybe they're happy to avoid the Kings in that sense, but yes, they get the Nuggets. How about Zion finally showing up? Zion had the game. We have been waiting for Zion since he left Duke. 40 points, 11 rebounds, best player on the floor in the fourth quarter, better than LeBron, better than Anthony Davis. We've talked about it. He's one of the few players on the planet who can physically dominate a game, and on top of it, he's very skilled. But he can physically take over a game, and he did. And what happened? His body betrayed him. Hamstring injury at the very end of the game. Wasn't on the floor to close it. Brandon Ingram wasn't very good. And now we don't know if he's going to be available against the Kings in the second play-in tournament game tomorrow night. So,
a bummer. That was always the question.
A bummer. A major bummer. I hope he's back. I hope he can play. I would like to see Zion play well. And then, yes, the game's tonight. Obviously, the big one that anyone cares about. Miami, Philadelphia, at Philadelphia.
Who you taking?
I'm just not going to bet against Miami, and maybe that's stupid. You know, sometimes Tom Izzo loses in the tournament, but Miami doesn't have Joel Embiid. They don't have Tyrese Maxey, but they do have Jimmy. They do have Bam Adebayo. They have the best coach in the NBA. So I guess I'm going to be foolish and take Miami. I'll probably regret it tomorrow.
And how dare you say you don't care about Quinn Snyder's Hawks? It's a great team.
Hawks.
Well coached.
Bulls tonight for a chance to lose to whichever team loses between Miami and Philly tonight.
Yikes, the Hawks and the Bulls. Did you see that the Pacers, like, their three highest scoring games of the season? You know, the three times they threatened to break the scoring record in all of the NBA all came against the Hawks.
Hawks, you know the Jazz don't play defense. The Hawks' transition defense is maybe worse than the Jazz.
That, I don't know if that's possible, but yeah.
Watch tonight. The funny thing is the Bulls don't run. The Bulls like to play the slowest offense in the NBA.
The old man DeRozan's not running.
He's not running.
He's not running anywhere.
It might help them if they do, but...
The next time Vooch runs will be the first.
Right, and that's the problem. But the Hawks will let you run on them if it happens. But, hey, Trae Young is back. We'll see if he can put together some playoff magic.
Well, I'm sure Quinn will let him take 30 shots. All right, what's next?
Number three, the Coyotes play their last game in Arizona tonight.
Home game tonight, end of the regular season. They are not in a spot where they can make the playoffs. They are playing the Oilers, who also don't need this game, so the Oilers are going to be doing the late-game tanking thing, not pretending I'm a hockey expert, but from what I've read online. So I would expect an emotional performance at 8 p.m. tonight from the Arizona Coyotes, and likely their final game in Arizona.
In front of dozens of people.
5,000 people at best.
Dozens of emotional fans. And listen, I shouldn't make jokes about the fans because they've really been dragged. I mean, how could you be an emotional fan of the Coyotes? I don't even get how the A's fans are like emotional fans about the A's. Like the fans have been, you know, Jazz fans out there that are grumpy about the rebuild and something like, you know, that sort of thing. I truly don't understand because I don't think you know what like fan abuse or poorly run franchises even looks like because. Talk about abused fans. I mean, look no further than the good folks of Oakland. I can't believe there's any A's fans left.
That they survived.
It's been so bad. And with the Coyotes, it's been run terribly.
Yeah.
I don't know how they have any fans down there. And you know what? That's why this franchise needs a fresh start and come to Salt Lake. New ownership, better run. Here we go.
I would think they would welcome the fans from Arizona. I would recognize it if they wouldn't follow them. But, this is a horrendous run of ownership that they've had, mistake after mistake when it comes to securing land to build an arena, and then, to have a 5,000-seat arena to force other NHL teams to come and play in is a disaster. They deserve a fresh start, and they're going to get it here in Utah.
Oh, man, I'm super jealous of the Saturday show. Ben, join the Saturday show live from the Uinta Golf Demo Days this Saturday from 10 to noon at Mulligan's on 106 South and 692 West in South Jordan. First 100 people in the gate will get free lunch and enter to win gear from Uinta Golf, and we'll be out there from 10 to noon. Have you ever done the Uinta Golf Demo Days at Mulligan's, Ben? Have you ever been down there for that?
I'm not.
It's a blast.
Party?
Well, you can. First of all, you can basically hit any club. I mean, if you're not sure about what type of club or that sort of thing, length, all that stuff, like you can get all those problems solved for you down there. You know, Ben, you need a new driver desperately.
Mm. Well, maybe I'll go hang out with Hatch and Michelle.
At least hit some. Figure out what you're in the market for. You like that good ping? You a tailor-made guy? Do you need an offset head? Get those questions answered, pal. And go away with some new clubs. Treat yourself. I'm talking directly to Ben here because he needs to upgrade his equipment. He's getting more serious about golf, meaning you play on a regular basis. I don't think you have to have the top of the line equipment. You don't need to go out and spend $5,000. We gotta get up from the Fred Meyer specials.
We'll see. We'll go down to Mulligan's.
All right.
Check it out.
Stay tuned. More next. 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I have to block out thoughts of you so I don't lose my head. They're crawling like a cockroach leaving
baby's in my bed.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's our 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Jay Stevens, NHL insider for the Puck Report podcast, is going to join us coming up in the next segment at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. The latest on the NHL coming to Salt Lake and his insight on hockey. Jay's a great dude.
He's got some well-placed sources.
Yeah,
in the hockey world.
We're excited to talk to him. We did a talk tick or whatever that is with him the other day.
Yeah, talk blast.
A talk. What was it? An Insta talk? Sarah, what was it?
It's not out yet, but it will be out soon. Yes, we did. It will go TikTok. On Instagram and TikTok.
What about the Snapbook or whatever?
Yeah, are we on Snapbook?
We are not on Snapchat, if that's what you're talking about. It will not be on Snapchat, okay. But it will be on Instagram and TikTok.
All right. It is Win Ticket Wednesday. Let's give away some tickets right now. Caller 12, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to get a pair of tickets to Blue October at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August the 24th. 12th caller right now, 801-575-ZONE. Quick NBA news, Ben, and then we'll talk a little hockey in the next segment. But Adrian Wojnarowski reported this really right as our show was starting. The NBA has leveled a lifetime ban on Jonte Porter for gambling. Ben, give us a quick refresh on Jonte's situation.
Jonte Porter is the brother of Michael Porter Jr., the not star, but maybe the fourth best player on the Denver Nuggets, borderline NBA player. Has kind of been in a two-way guy, has split up. But yeah, the sports books flagged that their biggest winning on a couple of nights were based on Jonte Porter over-unders, which I'm not a gambler, but even I would recognize, oh, that's weird. Nobody knows who Jonte Porter is, nor does anyone bet, I guess we would say prop bets on his performance.
It's actually kind of weird that there's a line for him. Like
that they even said it. But I guess they'll take your money however they can. And every time there were these bets, Jonte would hit the under, which is, you know, two made threes. He'd hit one, he'd pull himself out of the game.
Right.
He even bet apparently on Raptors games, but this is from Wojnarowski. Porter disclosed confidential information about his own health status to an individual he knew to be an NBA bettor. Another individual with whom Porter associated and knew to be an NBA bettor subsequently placed an $80,000 parlay proposition bet with an online sports book to win $1.1 million, wagering that Porter would underperform in a March 20 game. You bet $80,000 on Jonte Porter? Yeah. They're going to flag that.
So, first of all, Jonte might be the dumbest person alive.
Yep.
He might have that title. I don't know. We could make some arguments. But he might be the least intelligent person on the planet. But this is great for the NBA in a weird way because they get a chance to make a real example on somebody that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like this would be a much harder thing to do if it were Jonte's brother, Michael.
A huge deal if it was Michael. This
right.
kills. And the problem is he was betting on Raptors games, it sounds like. So
the problem was is he was betting on basketball. He was betting, period.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Leaking info, I mean, it's not just betting on Raptors. It's all of the things. He was shaving points. This is the point of a lifetime ban. I always thought it was dumb that people got caught up in the Pete Rose thing. Well, he was betting on his team to win. That does not matter.
Right.
That does not matter. Think about it this way. Okay, was he betting on his team to win every game? Or did he manipulate the pitching rotations to make it so he, you know, there's all sorts of things. Like, I'll pitch the crappy guy because I don't have money on it on Tuesday, but on Wednesday, I'm throwing my good reliever. I mean, it's the great no-no right. of sports. There's no, well, he was betting on this team and that team and this team. Nope. Nope. Let alone shaving points, which was what this guy was doing. The NBA made the correct decision, and it was a super easy one because this guy's a nobody. But now, and not to pick on his brother, but the Michael Porter Juniors of the world are going, well, I probably shouldn't entertain this because I've got way too much to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jonte Porter had too much to lose. It's insane that he did it.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yep. In addition, from January, March 24th, while traveling with the Raptors or the Raptors 905, their G League team, Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account. These bets range from $15 to $22,000 for a total of $54,000, yada, yada, yada. None of the bets involved in any game in which Porter played. These three of the bets were multi-game parlay bets, included one Raptors game in which Porter bet that the Raptors would lose, and all three bets lost. the NBA loves that, that he didn't get a...
Good riddance.
Yeah, he didn't win money on the bets he placed against his own team.
Who cares?
But a huge deal. And I would suspect this is also not the last we hear this story, meaning if they can get him for fraud of some type, I don't know how the bettors do this stuff. I really don't know how any of that works. I would suspect they would pursue this to the full extent of the law to make another a further example of him.
Good.
Yeah.
And then I just to throw the no, you know what? We won't go down that road. We've got too much to do. And in fact, a great positive story. Jay Stevens is going to join us. He's the NHL insider for the Puck Report podcast. He's going to give us the latest on the NHL coming to Utah, and maybe we'll dig into the roster a little bit. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.